Hello and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher and I'm joined once again here in the studio with pastor and educator Gary Cox. Gary, great to have you today.
Yes, thank you. Looking forward to today's broadcast.
Last week, Gary, we spent some time beginning a discussion about what we've kind of termed the four staples of Christian home education. And we talked about the first one last week about accountability. This week, we're going to move on to the second one. And again, these are ideas that, you know, we've distilled them into this particular category for this discussion, but obviously they've been present throughout other discussions we've had over the years. But our second conversation today is about connection. Something that you said something recently in an article that I was just revisiting, and it was this. It was that effective home education requires that dad and mom have authentic fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's connection, real, true connection that then flows into the actual family dynamic. So let's try to develop this idea of what do we mean by connection. And I'll just give you one other little scenario. I was working with a student the other day in one of our classes, and we teach a biblical foundations class at Wellspring, and this particular student had been they're assigned these particular essays, and the student had written a great essay about the things he had been learning, but it struck me that he has the same problem that I have, which is we have a lot of knowledge, and so my encouragement as I was reading his essay was like, well, you know, you've done a really good job identifying the different, you know, components of your lessons and the things that you want to learn on. And his application point, though, was to get more knowledge. And I said, you know, I don't actually think you need more knowledge. I think the key here is how are you connecting that information that you know to the actual daily grind of life. How are you applying all this information into the living application? And so this idea of connection point is something I think I need work on. It's usually I don't need more knowledge, just the connecting point. And that's got to start out of our connecting point to God. The same course we study the life of George Washington Carver. And Carver once told his students that God is always waiting there, just waiting for you to make contact with Him. So elaborate a little bit. How does this idea of connection, both to God and to life, what does this look like in the homeschool context? Yeah, well,
this term is becoming quite alive for us as we're contemplating the upcoming school year and our fall teachers conference, etc. But the idea of connection, as you and I have discussed it, is realizing that in the process of parenting, the parent's perspective and the child's needs, we're trying to address. And what is that need? Well, if God is the creator, He's also the redeemer. So God's a redeemer, and it's very fundamentally important for us to understand that we are broken. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's not any perfect parents, there's not any perfect kids. Everybody has the same problem. We're broken. And when you discuss and understand the outline of that brokenness, there's this bigger picture. There's the natural man. Sometimes we call it the Adam's nature, Adam's sin nature. The old man, we use this terminology. But there's the natural man and how we look at things from our reason and our experience of life in general. But then there's that spiritual man that really depends on revelation. And so the parent's primary role is to walk with their children through life, through these points of opportunity, accountability, process. And then in that process, they're training their child to learn how to listen to God, to become teachable, to become instructable. And so when we're talking about connection recently, what we're really talking about is, no matter how old the child is, the point of connection is a child's worldview of a situation creates an expectation that would satisfy that child's worldview from their natural experience. They want this, they want that, they need this, they need that. And so there's that stress in the natural area. And what happens is with parenting, the parent brings into that focus the bigger picture, and they ask the question, well, what does trusting God look like in this situation? So that's the point of connection. And so we know the scripture teaches that redemption is based upon one thing. I believe God, from faith to faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to cultivate this concept of faith. But that concept of faith can't be abstract, like you were saying with that student, you know, having all this head knowledge. It has to come right down into the narrow. So here's a big picture. When Satan's working overtime and we're being filled with condemnation, that condemnation is always sweeping, general. It's everything. I never do anything right. It's all wrong. It's that kind of sweeping condemnation. But when you have this nexus of spiritual faith, God's Redeemer, he brings up one situation and says, okay, in this situation, you didn't have faith. Here's what having faith would look like. And so we bring that point of, oh, having faith would look like this. And so you have a small incident where you get to express faith. You train a child faith. Sometimes the training is, now let's just try that again. Let's practice what it would be like the next time this happens. And you just go through a little process of, okay, here's what my desire is. Here's what my want is. But here's what it means to trust God at this point. And so that's the connection. When a child can begin to understand what trusting God is like in a particular situation, they're now engaging in the transformation that redemption brings. They're getting the heavenly outlook, that infusion spiritually of heavenly knowledge coming into the picture. And it's not able to be discerned in the natural man. It's spiritually discerned, and the parents are the first mentors in that process. So you have occasion after occasion, and that's one of the beautiful things about homeschooling. When you have that large access to the children, especially in those young years, where you're teaching them and training on all levels, you know, the parent that cultivates the insight to the fact that my child has a need to learn how to trust God in this situation and in this way. And with that consideration, then they come in as a mentor, they come in as a coach, as it were, and saying, okay, here's what you did wrong, here's how you do it. And, you know, does a baseball player get upset because the coach said, now, you know, one of the things that you're doing when you're holding the bat is you're doing it wrong, and you're tending to hit the ball off to the left field every time. So here's a few tips. And so we get that insight and training. And that narrow little point, oh, here's what I would do in that situation. And of course, that's the key to education, because as soon as I realize that God has a better way, what do? I become a student of God. Now, I can tell you that my conversion experience happened when I was 20, so I was already in college. But the first appetite that I had was, wow, God created me. He saved me. What does he have planned? And my enthusiasm was, I want to find out what God's design is. I mean, this program is named Treasuring God's Design for the Family, but that's really been my model since I was born again 53 years ago. Reality is, God has a plan, he has a purpose. I wonder what that is. How can I achieve it? And so there's this natural enthusiasm for that. And what it's always going to be tension. The natural man's always going to say, no, you can't do it that way. You got to do it this way. That's why if you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's like, what? You can't serve God and man at money, but if you need money, what's he trying? So we have that tension in the teachings of Christ across the board. There's a spiritual perspective. You walk by faith and you engage in that point of connection where your faith activates. And Paul said it, from faith to faith. It's like one touchstone to the next of connecting with God in my life.
As you were talking about this, I'm reminded so much of our dear friend Becky Wyand and a longtime staff person who still is involved to some degree with the ministry. But Becky so often has mentored moms and dads, but mainly moms, in this idea of inviting God into your schooling in the way that you've just described. And you know, we've had Becky on this program a few times before, and it'd be great to try to get her back on here to talk again about some of these things, because you just get sharper, I think, every month with this idea of just how are you bringing that reality of the Redeemer into your, you know, math problems. And I think it's interesting because, of course, how many times have we heard a student say, well, when am I ever going to use this? And it's, you know, it's often, you know, it's usually what in the context math. Of math, or maybe you have a math person who says, when am I ever going to be using, you know, this literature class? And I think this is where that connecting point is, but it has to be the parents have to lead the way on this. And that goes back to that first thing that we were just talking about, is you're not going to be able to effectively lead your student in that process of faith to faith if you yourself are not engaging right. in that same process. And I right. think that's what strikes me so much. I have kids and realize, man, do they see me going through that process of taking the theoretical and then connecting it to the actual challenge or thing that comes into, you know, our life. And, you know, I'm struck by how poignant this sort of thing is for effectively educating our kids, not just in an academic sense, although academically we need it too. And I guess I would be interested in hearing, you know, this connection point too. What are just some of those practical ways that we do take something like math? On the one hand, you can deal with maybe a character issue, which is, hey, God's got a purpose for you learning this particular subject, even though you and all your 15 years of wisdom can't imagine how it might have any applicability anywhere else. So you need to trust God. But how do you take that, some of these more abstract, sometimes things or things that just don't seem to have any bearing, and practically apply that for the students so that they do get that connecting point?
Right. So using Becky as a backdrop, I mean, the first thing she would always say is, well, you just start with pray and say, okay, Lord, we're wondering, what's the use of this?
And I just have to jump in and say, because Christians are like, oh yeah, pray. So trite. No. That's a serious question. Are you doing that? Are right. you actually talking with God in your mind? So I just had to emphasize that. Don't just blow that off and say, oh yeah, whatever. No, are you doing that?
Right. So, and as you pray, one of the tricks that I learned in past, maybe I shouldn't call it a trick, because it's been just a means of revelation, is I always allow myself to be as ignorant as I really am. And so in my prayer...
Now say that one more time, because I don't think
I always allow myself to be as ignorant as I really am. So I imagine I don't have a clue of what value this is. And so I'll pray and say, okay, Lord, I'm sure this has some value, but I don't understand at all. And I'll start to explain to God in prayer why this has no value. And it has never failed. When I get to the process of trying to prove to God it has no value, oh, but it has this value. And all of a sudden, I'll get three or four little tips from the Holy Spirit as to why something is of value. But it's a fun thing. I remember doing visits with a mom trying to encourage her kid, bored with science to death. And how do you ever get over science? And I just remember, science? It's so exciting. I just gave a little, and before I was finished, it was like, well, where can I get that science book? Well, you already have it. It's just your attitude. You have to come at it from a perspective of, you know, where's the value and what the value is. And adults struggle with that too. But talked about motivation last time, But part of that motivation in redemption is suddenly discovering the value as God sees it. And that changes the whole game. Oh, is that why God sees it? And so, you know, reality is there are times when you have to say, well, sometimes we have to pull weeds and handle thorns that aren't very fun, but it's part of the program that God designed. Thorns and thistles, sweat of the brow. So let's just take this as one of those occasions that God wants us to have a little bit of sweat, a little bit of torn skin, work in the garden, and let's try and do this to the best of our ability just to get through it because it needs to be done.
Yeah, that's so good. If you're just joining us, we're having a conversation with pastor and educator Gary Cox. We're discussing the staples of Christian home education, and today's staple is connection, the idea of connecting the theoretical, the knowledge base, the things, whether we're studying the scripture or whether we're studying the scientific world, all these different things that God has made and presented, and how do we connect that to reality. So I'm wondering, Gary, what are some pitfalls that homeschool families might fall into in this whole area of connection, of relating what's actually going on in life and in school to that faith, that actual act of faith? Yeah. Where do we run into some problems here?
The biggest impediment to faith is my understanding. The more I think I understand, the harder problem I have with faith. Jesus said, well, you have to have faith like a little child if you're going to enter the kingdom of God. And children don't have to understand a whole lot. They trust their parents, and we can get that. But the point of it is, when we allow reason to be the basis for our motivational process, we short ourselves. You know, first of all, we don't have the same reasoning God has, so we're limited. So we're going to have a narrower little point of reference. And then when we're relying on our own understanding, we have a natural, limited temporal view of what's important versus what God has for his understanding and what he's doing. So the most difficult barrier we all have to overcome is, how come? Why is that? I don't agree. I think something, you know, we bring our own understanding into it. And I don't know if you know this, but the most quoted verse of scripture in modern evangelicalism is John 3:16. What's the second most quoted verse?
Jesus wept. No.
Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from iniquity. Iniquity is living by your own understanding. We're all sinners. We all have this natural tendency to, we're going to do what we're going to do if we understand it. But no, faith isn't doing what you're going to do because you understand it. Faith is doing what God's asked you to because you trust him, even if you don't understand it. And then he'll add that layer as you go on. He'll give understanding. You'll get revelation and you'll understand things. So, yeah.
And I that is so good. And I think something that's interesting is when you start talking about, well, you know, reason, we shouldn't use our reason. And then people are like, oh, this is getting very philosophical. No. No, we're talking about the conversation you're having with your, you know, your 13-year-old or your teenage student, your high schooler, who's they're doing exactly what you just described, leaning on their understanding when they say that famous question, why do we need to learn this? And instead of having an argument with them about well, you know, someday you might be in this situation. No. You don't even have to go there because that's not really the problem. The problem right. is that you said is this idea of faith. And I remember having a conversation like this with a student once and trying to help her understand that actually there is something very releasing and wonderful when we as human beings stop trying to make it all work and figure it out. When will I ever use this? And, you know, Because some people, I suppose, might find that actually stressful. I don't think most students who are complaining about it really are. But I was trying to help her understand, look, you just can relax. Say, okay, you know what? I don't have to have that answer. I just can trust the Lord that he's got a good purpose in this. And anyway, so that's great. So we've got a few more minutes here yet. How else, we talked about, of course, the idea of faith. Do you think there's some practical things, too, for how parents can, in any kind of tangible way, cross the bridge between theoretical and practical, just in their teaching?
Right.
To help make that connection point.
That's probably why homeschooling is the number one benefit of education, especially for children, you know, in K to 8 minimum. Because what happens is the home is a center of practical industry and reality. And children always begin learning by mimicking, hands-on doing. And so when you're in a family and you have this whole family dynamic, the home economics are at work, everybody's contributing, there is tons and tons of practical learning and understanding. And remember about one thing about knowledge, you take something that you know and you add something new to it. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is never something brand new that just comes in, rests itself on nothing. It always gets built on something. And so, you know, I like to remember, by the time you get to age 5, children have a tremendous amount of knowledge from the experiential real world. So it's really, really valuable, really, really helpful to allow the child to experience and be a part. I remember when I was a boy, I was fourth born, and I wanted to participate in the home economics aspects of the family. And I just, mother, can I please dry the dishes? And she looked at me and said, no, one day you're going to resent drying dishes. And I just want you not to have to dry dishes yet. And that was like the best medicine for me. Oh, mother, I'm going to dry them now. And I just got a chair and started drying dishes and never looked back. It was just,
so do you still like, do you still like drying dishes?
Actually, it's still a part of my makeup. Sally was away for 3 weeks with the grandbaby in Eastern Shore, and I'm on my own. I washed my dishes as I made them dirty, and I learned how to dry them in the drainer, though that's a little more sanitary. So, but the big picture is, yeah, we have this value of real-life learning, and then you include it in. So then you, like, how did I know how important fractions were? Well, I'm trying to bake cookies. We had a special chocolate cookie recipe, and I wanted to make cookies, and my mother said I could do it. But I wasn't old enough to really read fractions yet in the way the cookbooks wrote them. And it said a half a cup of milk. Well, because it was one, and then a slash, and then a two, I read it as one cup of milk, and then another half a cup. So I put 1.5 cups of milk in a cookie recipe, and we had brownies instead. Because you had to spread it out in the whole dish, and you couldn't form enough. But I learned about fractions in a practical, direct way, and it helped me to understand, because numbers are a part of the beauty of God's creation. He's the creator. Things work. You know, we use numbers all the time. And so, just include them in the real world all along, and learning becomes, can I learn about that? Can I learn about that? And then the enthusiasm for learning builds.
And I'm just going to jump in here and say, yeah, that's part of the philosophy we have at Wellspring, is look around at what you're already doing and realize that that's already a huge part of the education that's already happening. So for us, as we're working with families, that's a big point of, is really just it's a perspective change. Yeah. Education is already happening in some, you know, large capacity, whether it's being formally recognized or not. So immersion, I think, is a word you'd love to use, that immersive environment. So, well, Gary, this has been a great conversation, and we're so grateful for the Redeemer, who is the one who helps us understand this connection point on all these different fronts.
And what's not. Amen.
Well, if you didn't get a chance to hear this whole broadcast, you can do so by either going to wcfs.edu/radio, or you can also go to wthuradio.com and find Family by Design in our audio vault there of different programs. If you'd like to reach out to us about any of the content you've heard, or maybe you're interested in starting a homeschool program and looking for an opportunity to do that, we'd invite you to reach out to us. You can do that by visiting wcfs.edu. Well, on behalf of all the folks here at Family by Design, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping you will join us again as we continue a conversation about the staples of Christian home education right here on Family by Design, where we help you treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.